Okay, so we agreed last week to start with the Hilchot Shabbat, and again I gave the caveat that we're not going to spend any time on the Melachot. I don't feel particularly qualified to speak about Yisrei Shabbat in depth from any perspective. The additional point that I think we made at the time was that we try to stick to areas where there's a particular Temani perspective. You know, there's plenty of, you know, the Shulchan Aruch is vast and the Halacha is vast, and there are plenty of especially modern issues which are discussed very well in the Poskim, and we don't have any particular contribution to make other than you should learn well, you know, and follow what the Gedolim say, which is, as we said last week, is the way we approach these issues, so we're going to stick to areas where there's a particular Temani contribution. So in that light, we open up the beginning of Hilchot Shabbat Siman Resh Mem Bet, Hilchot Erev Shabbat, and discuss just a couple of quick points in some of the halachot of Erev Shabbat, and hopefully we'll get to the we'll see how far we get. So begin in Siman Resh Mem Bet. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Mitakanat Ezra, shiyu mechabsim begadim bechamishi b'Shabbat mipnei kvod haShabbat." It's takana midrabbanan from Ezra Sofer that once you do laundry on Thursdays. It's a big machloket whether you have to dafka do the laundry on Thursday so it should be ready for Shabbat. You could even do earlier in the week also. Is that part of the Kvod Shabbat? But what you see clearly is you shouldn't do the laundry on Fridays. The takana not to do laundry on Fridays, rather to do it at least earlier, perhaps dafka on Thursday. So the question that we're going to just discuss very briefly is whether this takana applies bisman hazeh when we have laundry machines. So, what's the reason for the takana? The reason for the takana is there's different possibilities given to poskim. Some say it's because you're going to be so busy doing laundry, you're not going to prepare the food for Shabbat or other needs for Shabbat. Some say it's that's one approach. Magen Avraham Eliyahu Rabbah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, is because so that the clothes should be ready, so you should have nice clothes for Shabbat, so that way you should do them well in advance to make sure that you have nice clothes for Shabbat. But regardless of the reason, we could still ask the question whether it applies bizman hazeh with when we have washing machines, laundry machines. So like I said, this was kind of a modern topic. I wouldn't necessarily get into it. There's not really a tradition from Teiman about this question, but it happens to be the Rebbe of Tzabi has a tshuva about it, and Aruch Hatov Shulchan Shlomo Karach also weighs in on the issue. So I figured we would we would take a look at what Rebbe Tzabi has to say. I don't think we need to prescribe to the perspective that everyone has to follow a posek of the same ethnicity of their own. And this issue doesn't really depend on anything, but afal pichen, if we're learning so much of what Rebbe Tzabi writes, it's worthwhile to see what he has to say about this issue. And then we'll compare it to what other poskim say from the Ashkenazim and Sephardim. So Rebbe Tzabi has in the first chalik of Olat Yitzchak, he says, Lo ra'iti mishinit orer b'shela zu ad hayom. It's interesting, because he's apparently one of the first early people to write about this issue. So he says he lives in Israel where they say chashmal, he writes electric. Anyway, he says that he thinks it's pashut, that it's mutar, it's not a problem doing laundry on Fridays with a washing machine. Now, interesting, look at the way he tackles the issue. He says, lo mishum she'be'elu ein tzorech l'maaseh adam klal v'nimtza she'lo sha'ach b'chai gav natam k'desh yu pnuyim. Right? He says, maybe you'll tell me that the reason why this gzera shouldn't apply is simply because the reason for it doesn't apply. We have plenty of time to get ready for Shabbat even without this stringency. He says that's not really good reason. So he says we don't learn that way. When you have takana de rabbanan, batel atan lo batel gzera. So that's not going to help you here. Rather, what does he say? What's the reason? Mishum duchai gavna yesh la shelo tiken ezra klal shnitinatan lemechona kibsiratan legoy lechabes as damia. The badim is tarbe deshari yachvia nirai gam ken mistimat aposkim. So he says he starts from the assumption that it's mutar to give clothing to a non-Jew to wash on erev Shabbat because that's not going to take away from the Shabbat preparations at all, right? And he says da I have asur lemsor legoy lechabes badai avel lefrushay birochayu. Somebody should have told us that you're not allowed to give to a non-Jew. So obviously you are allowed to give it to a non-Jew. So if that's the case, the takana is only for those kinds of laundry which take a lot of time. Right? In other words, not this is a general klal which most poskim assume. We'll see in a moment that not everyone agrees to that. That most assume that you can't say that the reason doesn't apply, but the takana doesn't apply. But if you're able to get to the definition of the takana, for instance, the famous example, mayim gluim, water which was exposed to the open air for a while, so the Chazal forbade us from drinking it because they were concerned that a snake might have put poison into it. So the Shulchan Aruch says that we're not careful about this bizman hazeh. The Gra famously was careful for it. The explanation that's given is because the takana in it initially was only for a place which there were snakes. If there are no snakes, the takana doesn't apply. So it's not that the reason doesn't apply, that the takana doesn't apply. It's that the takana originally was only applicable to places which had snakes. If you live in a place that doesn't have snakes, the takana was never intended to apply to you. So the takana was never intended, says Rav Tavi, to apply to a form of laundry which doesn't involve you actually physically washing the clothes. That's Rav Tavi. It's feeling that it's mutar. It happens to be the Rav Shlomo Korach, who's the other posek, who we said we're going to get into what his writings, Rav Shlomo Korach in Ari Chata Shulchan. He thinks it should be asur on page 3. And he gives three reasons. Let's see what he says. Shlomo Korach, he was the Rav of Bnei Brak for a while. Chief Rav of Bnei Brak for a while? Shlomo Korach. He's older than Rabbi Tzavi. He says, Ach nirala, even though he writes in a more modern style, Ach nirala, and you dati desh lahachmir gabizmaninu, mikama tame, reshi takanat zraita lichlal, lo lechalek. Aniyim lashirim, funakim, shesh lahem mishartim. Right? He assumes this says that even if you have servants to wash for you, the Isur will still apply. Okay? That's an assumption. Right? Shanit, gam v'mechonayin tzerech lemayen sugei abgadim v'akvisa, you have to sort the clothes. Right? You have to sort the clothes. Gam nachse beged beged clothes v'an harishonim. Right? And he makes an interesting point. He says, in the time of Chazal, they used to wash just a little bit of clothes for one day at a time. Let's see, later on, Shlomo Zalman is going to make this point in a slightly different way. So they used to wash one piece of clothing at a time, so therefore they didn't wash a lot. But we wash a big load of laundry, right? So, kedil latzela chokma amechonav v'achomer. Right? And then he says, afterwards you have to put them all in the dryer, and you have to sort them out afterwards. And the shlishi, he says, maybe the machine is going to break down. So, I don't know. I didn't find this presentation so compelling, just personally. I'm not as big a Talmud Chacham as Rav Shlomo Korach, of course, but it's a little bit of say low plug, okay, fine, low plug, there's no difference, but to start bringing in other concerns, you have to sort the clothing, you have to maybe the machine will break down. In the Yalkut Yosef, he refers to this argument, and he sort of says, well, you know, we can't make gezerot on our own. The gezerah, either it's what Chazal prohibited, or it should be mutar. Okay, so this is what you have. He adds one more reason in 4, actually, in number page 4. He adds one more reason. He says, maybe Takanat Ezra was, in the fourth line, he says, V'zeh haya makom lar she'en l'chabes erev Shabbat afilu bin mechona, ki yesh din l'erev Shabbat l'chvod ha-Shabbat, she'muchan lifnei zeh. Maybe it's like Friday is a very special day, so you have to read it before Friday. I'm not sure where he gets that from, although he actually likes, we'll see when we get to the washing on Erev Shabbat, he actually is a big fan of the idea the specialness of Friday. That Friday is a very holy day, a very special day. You know, I don't know if he would prescribe to Rabbi Soloveitchik's idea that you should say Gut Erev Shabbos. You know, but he talks a little bit about it, and it seems like in Teman there were certain things they did on Fridays which were a little special. So maybe we'll get to that later. Okay, so this is Machlokes Rav Tzavi and Rav Korach. There you have it. Just to give a sense of what's going on among the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. So on page 5, Yalkut Yosef, he quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Rav Eliashiv, who said, Lo plug Rabbanan. Lo plug Rabbanan, the Takana should apply. Right? And again, the answer of Rav Tzavi to that point is not that we do make distinctions. It's rather that the Takana was never meant to apply to the situation where you're not doing the work yourself. Also on page 6, you have Rav Shlomo Zalman. So the Shmirat Shabbat Kilchot actually leaves a safek, he's not sure, on page 6. He says on page 6, the fifth line from the arrow, sixth line from the arrow. Shemati was Rishon Rishlomus Al Orenbach. There was manenu shein regilim lechabes rak mayom lemacharat velo l'torach shimush b'oto yom. If you chabes Rav Shabbat, you chashivu sheyesh lo pnai v'u mechin me'Rav Shabbat achar Shabbat. Lachen adiv lechabes lifnei yom shishi. So Rishon says it's an interesting consideration. It doesn't sound like a formal isur, but he says, you know, the same point that Rav Korach made, which is that we wash for many days at a time. So if you do a load of laundry on Fridays, it looks like you have plenty of time. You're preparing for after Shabbat, you know. Which is we see another place this concern that you shouldn't prepare on Fridays for after Shabbat. Doesn't look nice, not kavod Shabbat, you know. So Shmirat Shabbat doesn't come down one way or the other on this issue. What about among the Sfardim? So on page 7 we have Rav Avadia. I copied it from the Chazon Avadia. It was first published in Halichot Olam. Chilek Gimel, and he just says very simply, "Atash I come chabsim mechana kvisa chashmelit shabegadim itkabsim ba'atzmam, en tzorach levazbez zman lechibus lebegadim mutar lechatchila, right? Kmo shekatavti ba'lechot olam, right? And he says davar pashut. He doesn't even bother to explain why he thinks that. Yalkut Yosef, he actually quotes a Radvaz, that the Radvaz says that. When the reason for the takana was given, then we do say if the reason disappears, the takana disappears. That's a little bit different than the Rav Tabi's point, right? Because there's a famous line from the Gra, who says that whenever Chazal give you a reason for a takana, you don't know that that's the entire reason. They could have had 50 other reasons, but they only gave you one reason. So you can the Gra said you can never go based on the reason. Now, so the Radvaz is against that. The Yalkut Yosef, he says, we're willing to rely on the Radvaz. The Ratzavi's point is a little bit different than that. You could say that we don't know the reason, but we still know the definition of the Gzerah. For instance, if we know that the Gzerah doesn't apply to giving to a non-Jew to wash, so then we can apply the same heter to a washing machine, right? Maybe we don't know the reason, but we know the halakha, we know that it doesn't apply to giving to a non-Jew, so therefore we could assume that it doesn't apply to giving it to a washing machine either. That's not against the Gra, right? So it's slightly different points. And just one more, Ma'ariv Makom, page 8, again, in every Eidah, this is a controversial question. Ashkenazim are not sure about it, the Temanim are not sure about it, Sfaradim also not sure about it, Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, in Or Letzion Chelek Bet. I should just give a caveat that Chelek Bet of the Or Letzion, Shuvot Or Letzion, was not written by Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, it was written by his students. And so some of the Sfaradim, especially Rav Avadia, was not sure to rely on everything in the Sefer. But be that as it may, it says here that En Lechabes Begadim Af B'Mechona B'Yom Shishi, he was Machmir. Uven Eish B'nei Shasrim, Elem Ken Yesh L'Gam Mechona Dibush. If you have a dryer, it's allowed. Okay. Why? What's the difference? Well, if you don't have a dryer, then you'll have to hang up the clothing, right? Whereas if you do have a dryer, then it takes much less time because you just put it in the machine. That's how I understood it. I was talking to Rav Schechter about it, Rav Herschel Schechter, and he thought, no, maybe the pshat is because when Chazal prohibited doing the laundry, that has two parts, the washing and the hanging up to dry. So maybe what Rav Tzion Abba Shaul thinks is that if you're still hanging up to dry, you're still doing it partly in the way that Chazal prohibited, and maybe that's why it should be not allowed. That could be, you know, if it's a question of just the amount of time. So we could just add that, you know, we could raise the question, maybe people who live in Washington Heights and don't have their own laundry machines, their own dryers, certainly. So maybe if you live in an apartment. So maybe there's room to be more machmir because you have to go all the way out to the laundromat, you know, or maybe not. Maybe they only prohibited washing by hand. So this is just, again, we just mentioned it not because there's a particularly Temani angle, but just to give an illustration, we see that our poskim are weighing in on these questions also. Asel Harav, yeah.
Is there also like a time limit? Because like, what if you do it early in the morning?
So early in the morning is lechora still not allowed. Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul says that that Thursday night is allowed. Thursday night is Yom Shishi, but it's not really included. But no, lechora the takana applies to the whole of Erev Shabbat. You want to know between Alot HaShachar and Netzach Hamah? Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, but yeah, look, again, I, you know, if you would ask me, I would say, you know, Kedai Rav Tzabi and Rav Avadia lismoch alehem, you know, and their reasoning, you know, makes sense to me anyway.
You mean lechatchila?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, again, if you suddenly have a washing machine in your house, you know, like I said, you know, I thought the reasoning was a very good reasoning, but you know, don't take it from me. Like we said, you know, I said lecharav, you know, and again, it's not that a person just because they're Temani has to follow a Temani posek in these kinds of areas. It's just interesting to see and kedai to see, you know, what's going on. But it's not an issue. There's a particular mesora. Okay. Our next little mini topic is the topic of baking bread on Erev Shabbat. So if you flip back all the way back to page one, the Rama quotes a minhag. To bake bread on Erev Shabbat, the Raman back in the first page, Noagin lalush kedei shiur chalab abayit, la'asod mehem lechamim livtzoa lehem b'yeh Shabbat v'yom tov, u'mikvot Shabbat v'yom tov v'en l'shanot. So the minhag is to bake bread on Fridays for the lechem mishneh for Shabbat and Yom Tov, and that's considered kvot Shabbat and Yom Tov, and we shouldn't change the minhag. That's the Rama says that right here in Siman Resh Mem Bet. And the Achronim explained two reasons from the Rishonim already. One reason is, again, because Kvod Shabbat, they have fresh bread, it's Kvod Shabbat. The second reason is in order for the women to fulfill the mitzvah of Hafrashat Chala, which is a special minhag to fulfill the mitzvah of Hafrashat Chala on Erev Shabbat. That's a tikkun for the Chet of Chava, that the Gemara says that when she was Machshil Adam Rishon, he was like the Chalato Shalom, the Chala of the world, the choicest part of the world. And she ruined him. So if it was takana for that, she should be mafrish chala. And that's one of the reasons why the women have the special mitzvah of hafrashat chala more than the men. It's also hadlakat nerot is also connected to that. But that happened on Friday. So the tikkun for that should be done on Friday to be mafrish chala. Just to look down the Mishnah Berurah, just to get a to take a look at how seriously this minhag is taken. In Mishnah Berurah, the Biur Halacha, Vehu, on the first page, in the middle, Avonoteinu Rabbim Hayom Itchilu Eze Nashim Lashbita Minhagu Velokhin Min Haofeh Lav Shabri Avdi Demaktinim Bazek Kvod Shabbat. That it's not, Mishnah Berurah complains, it's not right that there are women who buy from bakeries. You buy the bread for Shabbat from the bakery, that's not proper. It's taking away from Kvod Shabbat. So what do we have to say about this issue? So here, again, we already saw the Biur Halacha is not happy with it. Among the Sfaradim, just to get sense of it, then we'll see what the Temanim have to say about this. We can say that side. Or Lezion, again, says, well, nowadays the bread is so delicious from the bakery, they make special chalot for Shabbat, it's so delicious. You can buy from bakeries nowadays. And Rav Avadia sort of responds, that, yeah, but that's good for Kvod Shabbat, it's not good for the mitzvah of hafrashat chala, and also you could say that the tircha, you know, the putting in the effort yourself, that's part of Kvod Shabbat. So therefore, the Ben Ish Chai also is very into this minhag to try to make sure to bake bread. For us, it's interesting if you look on page 9, Shtelei Zeitim. Unfortunately, the fancy, beautiful edition that we were looking at last week, they don't have on Hilchot Shabbat. They only did Chelek Aleph and Chelek Gimel in that set. And then they went out of business. So we have to use the old printing. And one of the disadvantages of the old printing is that you don't know what he took out. But here I put a little star, because as you can see, the entire Rama is missing. The entire Rama, who has this minhag of baking bread on Erev Shabbat, has been taken out of the Shtilei Zeitim. So apparently what that means is we don't have such a minhag at all. And this is just an illustration of why the Shtilei Zeitim did what he did. Because it's very possible that Sfaradim also didn't have this minhag once upon a time. But because they got the Shulchan Aruch, which had the Hagahot of the Rama printed in them, so they adopted this minhag. And you could say that's wonderful. But at the same time, if that was not their minhag, so now they, you know, added a new minhag they didn't have before. So this is why the Shtilei Zeitim took it out, because he said, we don't have such a minhag. We don't have such a minhag. So and the Temanim never took on this minhag because it wasn't the Shulchan Aruch that they were using. What's the explanation again? What's the explanation? So Rav Tzabi gives a guess in the Shulchan Aruch HaMekutzar on page 10. He still says tov, it's a nice thing to do. Nice thing to do. He says, Vani lo elet izot ketorat min hagel kedavar tov. Page 11. Right, this is famous from Pesach. They used to bake every day in Teman. Right? So in other words, they used to bake as needed. They baked every day, right? If they had plenty of bread from Thursday and they didn't need a bake on Friday, they wouldn't bake on Friday. If they needed bread on Friday, they would bake on Friday. So you can't really say there's a special minhag to bake on Friday, because they baked every day. Certainly, the idea of the Adam Rishon, certainly we never had such a minhag. And then he throws in the bottom. He says, anyway, if they bake cakes, that's going to be partial. That's at least the idea of a fresh baked goods. That should be a partial fulfillment of the minhag, but not the mitzvah for hafrashat challah, because you don't make such a large bread. So he says, you know, we don't have to be so nervous about this minhag. If the bread from the bakery is just as good, and you don't have time, so don't worry about it. We never really had such a minhag. Okay, this is our second mini topic. Skipping forward to page 14, we're skipping forward now to Siman Resh Mem Tet. Beginning in the middle, there was a lot of ilchot of Amira la'akum and things which we're not covering. As we said, we're not going to deal with Isurim so much. but we're going to do now our third mini topic. Let's see if we have time to get to a larger topic. And that is the Isur of traveling on Erev Shabbat. In Siman Resh Mem Tet, the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Gemara, says as follows: En olchin b'Erev Shabbat yoter mishalosh parsaot. It's prohibited, you're not allowed to travel on Erev Shabbat more than three parsaot. So Mishnah Berurah explains three parsaot is not to be taken as a distance, it's to be taken as the amount of time it takes to walk three parsaot. So if you're traveling faster, and this is agreed upon by all the poskim, if you're traveling faster, like in a wagon or a car or a train, so you can travel the amount of time you'd be able, for the amount of time it would take to walk three parsaot. How much is that? Well, you know, the Gemara says that the person can walk 10 parsaot in a day. So 3 out of 10, so 3/10 of the day is the amount of time you're allowed to travel in Erev Shabbat, which comes to 3 hours and 36 minutes.
Right?
Shaud Zmaniot, presumably. Yeah, Shaud Zmaniot, 3 hours and 36 36 minutes in Shaud Zmaniot is the amount of time you're allowed to travel. And that's from the morning. Not meaning if I start at 10 o'clock, I can't travel 3 hours and 36 minutes. It's from sunrise. Or maybe, according to Magen Avraham, from Alot HaShachar.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that I'm not allowed to travel, let's say the sunrise is at 6 and sunset is at 6. I'm not allowed to travel past 9:36.
At all?
At all. Correct. That's the Gzirah D'Rabbanan. Not allowed to travel after 9:36 a.m. Shabbat morning. Right now, this is whether you're visiting somebody else or whether you're going to your house. Also, but then Shulchan Aruch explains, "Ani milik shu biyishuv makom shuchalachin tzorchei Shabbat." The first caveat is, if you're in the middle of nowhere where you cannot prepare for Shabbat where you are, so obviously you're allowed to travel to where you can. Im b'makom sham iavshar lo lachin tzorchei Shabbat, or she'enom makom yishuv, betuach mutar lelech afilu kam parsot. Somewhere where you can, if you can stop here for Shabbat, you have to stop here for Shabbat. Not allowed to travel. Right? If you can't stop here for Shabbat, then you could travel. Now, the most important caveat, im shalach lo diyam shu'olech sham l'shabbat, mutar lelech kam parasot b'chol gavna. Now, if there's someone waiting for you on the other end who is preparing Shabbat for you, let's say you work in the city, you know, and your parents or your wife, you know, is making Shabbat back home, right? So then you could travel, you know, until closer to Shabbat because there's food ready. Or let's say you cooked for Shabbat before you went to work, and everything is ready, right? So now you could travel even afterwards because everything is ready, right? Or if you're visiting somebody else, if they know you're coming, then you can travel even afterwards. Okay, but still, this Isur will come up for a person who's traveling, he's touring, you know, and he wants to do sightseeing on Fridays, you know, and he's going to spend Shabbat, you know, in this or that town where he's going to make Shabbat over there. There's a shul over there. He checked it out. He's going to make his own Shabbat when he gets there, right? So in that case, will the isur apply? So seemingly, that's a big problem. He should really get there first, make Shabbat, and then sightsee in the area. However, if you go back to page 14, Mishnah Berurah quotes a machloket. If you take a look, he says, "Uvenosea ba'agala or cheval sus, nosea bimera yochali saharbe yoter mishalosh parasot ad shlish hayom." So first he goes to the primegadim, who says that if you're traveling fast, if you're traveling on a wagon, you can travel until 9:36, right? Me'abach mashma la'akel b'nosea ba'agala. Ah, but the Bach thinks that the whole gzera only applies when you're walking by foot. And of course, you have to be smart. Don't cut it too late, right? I think Rabbi Meir Twersky once said that in New York, there's no such thing as unexpected traffic, right? By definition, you could be in a traffic jam that could last for 2 hours, you know. And so, therefore, I don't remember who said this, but somebody said, I think people used to travel to the Catskills for Shabbat in the summertime. I think some still do. Brooklynites. So they said, if Shabbat begins at 8:30, so if you leave New York at 6 o'clock, you're already Mechalel Shabbat, for doing that, because there's always traffic. So you're already Mechalel Shabbat. Don't take chances. So obviously, we're talking about someone who's very smart, they're not taking chances. But nevertheless, the Bach says, this takana doesn't apply to traveling on a wagon or a train or a car. The whole takana doesn't apply. It only applies to traveling by foot. That's a major kula, a very big, important heter b'zman hazeh. So this is a question, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem like he's sure about this question. Yalkut Yosef also, Yalkut says that the minhag is to follow the Bach. Rav Avadya doesn't quote the Bach. He doesn't seem to be so into this Bach. But again, this Ladidan, the Shtilei Zetim in page 16, we have here, quotes the Bach. Nagula akel imu rochev al sus o abagala v'nei v'anach lehem. So the minhag is to be mekel mikom lekom tzirch shalei lecha derev. So he quotes the Knesset Agdola that the minhag is to allow this, right? On page 16, the minhag is to allow this. So therefore, I don't think we need to be too nervous. So this is our third kula for the day. Wow.
So the kula is when you're traveling in means of quicker transportation.
Exactly. The takana doesn't.
Until a shlish hayom?
No. That, shlisha, that's the first point that everyone agrees to, that shlish hayom is that's the halakha. Whether you're traveling by foot or by car, you can travel at shlish hayom. The question is, can you travel past shlish hayom? Because you can say that the whole takana only applied to walking by foot.
So the first 3 hours and 36 minutes is shlish hayom?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's not exactly shlish hayom, it's 3/10 of the day. 3 parsot out of 10. Right, 3/10 of the day, so it's a little bit more than 3 and 33. That doesn't come out so... do the math, it's 3/10 of 12. So do the math. It's 3 times 72, it's 3 and 36. 3 out of 36 minutes.
But if you're sightseeing by foot, then it doesn't matter how smart you're going to be.
Exactly. I mean, the reason why the Bach says this is because, if I'm traveling by foot, so, you may not realize how long it takes, you may be delayed. If you're traveling by car, even if you're delayed, you can make up the difference, much more quickly, and so on and so forth. And again, we accept that kula. Again, the minhag is to be make hill on that. So this is our third kula for the day. Okay, now I come to our bigger topic. We'll see if we go till 10:25. If everyone can stay, then we'll be able to finish the topic also. And this is a topic that's relevant. It comes up in Siman Resh Mem Tet. And it's relevant for this year. This is the topic, what happens when a fast day falls on Erev Shabbat. I don't know if you remember, like a couple of years ago, Asar B'Tevet fell on Erev Shabbat. And this year is again. This year, again, Asar B'Tevet falls on Erev Shabbat. And so the question is, how do you conduct yourself? It's forbidden to fast on Shabbat. And so therefore, the question is, should you continue fasting into Shabbat, stop fasting before Shabbat? And so let's see if we can understand the issue, see what the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch is, see what our minhag is, if we have a minhag. just to give a sense of why this is a difficult topic, it's not so easy to find a minhag. Just skip forward to page 23 for a second. Look on page 23 in the third line. And this will illustrate what we talked about in terms of minhag. In the third line in the Mordechai, Pam achat ira asar betevet yom vav. Okay, so we'll see why the Reed did that in a second. But one time, the tent of Tevet fell on a Friday, and this is what the Reed did on that occasion. So just we're going to come back to this. But what does that tell you? It means this is a rare occurrence, right? It's a rare occurrence. Only happens every once in a while, and therefore it's going to be harder to speak about a minhag about it. Each place is going to have a different minhag, if they have minhag at all. You know, usually people forget from time to time what the halacha is. They have to look it up again in the books to figure out what to do. They don't remember what they did 3 years ago. And even if they remember what they did, they're not sure maybe that was a mistake, right? So this is one of those cases where it's going to be a little harder to speak about a minhag, but we'll see exactly what we come out with. So in order to understand this topic, we're going to have to go through the sources that the Beit Yosef quotes, the different Rishonim who weigh in on the topic, and the Gemarot, and we'll see what we come to. So the Gemara in Eruvin, Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Mem Aleph Amud Bet already asked the question, what's the halacha if someone accepted a Tanit on Erev Shabbat? Should they finish the Tanit or not? So the Gemara quotes a Baraita, Tanya, first source of 19, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Pam Achat, Hayini Yosvin Lefnei Rabbi Akiva, V'tisha B'Av Shechal Yod B'Erev Shabbat Haya. The Tisha B'Av fell on a Friday. Now we can't have that nowadays, because we have a fixed calendar, but they had a calendar that was based on observation, so for them it was possible. So they brought him I think this is a soft-boiled egg. I think I once checked the megulgelet. I think it's a soft-boiled egg. I'm not sure, it might be a hard-boiled egg.
It's Russian.
It's the Yaraka.
It's the Yaraka, Rashi says. Oh, okay, good, so I'm not crazy. Right? I always thought it was a hard-boiled egg because they always told you in school that when you spin the egg, if it's hard-boiled, it'll spin on its place. Yeah. But if it's raw, it'll go all the way around. That's what my parents told me. That's how I tell them if the egg is soft-boiled or if the egg is cooked is raw or hard-boiled. So I think megulgel means it spins on its place. Yeah, but I'm not exactly sure why megulgel means
sloyarika. Sloppy.
No, probably just means spun on the coals.
Spun on the coals.
Of course, of course.
Spun on the coals. Okay.
Also, betza kasha is hard boiled.
Well, that's in modern Hebrew. So I don't know where the betza kasha, what it is in Talmudic Hebrew, but maybe also. Anyway, v'gma'a belo melach. So Rabbi Akiva, again on Erev Shabbat, which was Tisha B'Av. So on Tisha B'Av itself, basically, he swallowed. He swallowed in one shot this soft boiled egg belo melach without even putting salt in it. So obviously, he didn't want to be me'aneg himself. He didn't want to enjoy something, but he did want to eat something. Ve'lo shaya ta'ev. Not that he was hungry. La'ela la'arot la'talmidim halacha. But to show the talmidim halacha. Another, right? That's, what halacha?
That you don't fast.
You do fast, but close to Shabbat, you should eat something. So that and again, the Gemara, the expression we'll see in a second, that you shouldn't be nichnas la'Shabbat k'shu me'une. It's not kavod Shabbat to come into Shabbat when you're starving, right? So therefore, you stop the fast right before Shabbat in order to not be starving coming into Shabbat.
Isn't there an afkamin if a question if you should continue until tzeis kochavim or until?
That's what we're going to see. Everything we're going to see. Everything. Yeah, 100%. This is Shitat Rabbi Akiva. Shitat Rabbi Akiva. Ula Rabbi Yossi Omer mitaneu mashlim. But Rabbi Yossi says no. You have to complete the fast. Then the Gemara records their argument. They told Rabbi Yossi that it's not right to come into Shabbat when you're fasting. He said you are allowed to come into Shabbat when you're fasting. Whole shakel v'tarya. They actually changed the halacha. Rabban Gamliel, you see the whole Gemara if you want. Rabban Gamliel held that you should break the fast. Rabbi Yoshua held you shouldn't break the fast. They started after Rabban Gamliel died. They started following Rabbi Yoshua. People said it's not right. You know. And they answered, no, you know, we have a new rabbi. So new rabbi, new psak halacha. We're allowed to change the halacha from what Rabban Gamliel said, now that Rabbi Yoshua is in charge. What's the bottom line? On the bottom, Amrina Nala, Amar Rav Yuda, Amar Rav, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir. The opinion that says you should break the fast is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, not, right, Shamar Mishum Rabban Gamliel. In other words, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is identical with the opinion of the Chachamim, as the majority opinion was, that you should complete the fast. And just to see on the next page, and Derash Marzutra Mishmed Rav Huna Halacha Mitanim Umashlimin. So that seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. Mitanim Umashlimin. Interesting. Tosfot feels a need to justify Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva wasn't going against the consensus, and they say that there's a Ibn Chananel. They say a tradition that Rabbi Akiva was actually sick that day, so he had to eat, and not that he held this way. But either way, the Machloket Tanaim. And the Amorim ruled Hilchata Mitane Umashlim. Halacha Mitanin Umashlimin. Okay, so what does Mitanin Umashlimin mean? So there's two questions that, two questions that are raised, and it comes out to a whole range of Shitot among the Rishonim. So the first question is here in Tosfot on page 20. So Hilchata Mitane Umashlim, Perush Im Yirtse Lahashlim. The Shari Lashlim, the Baya who is Shari Lashlim, the whole question of the Gemara was not, am I obliged to finish the fast? It was, am I allowed to finish the fast? In other words, always, is it permissible to fast at the beginning of Shabbat? That was the question of the Gemara. Not are you obligated to fast in Shabbat? Is it permissible to fast going into Shabbat? And the conclusion of the Gemara is, it is permissible to finish the fast. But do you have to finish the fast? No, you don't have to finish the fast. And we'll see later on, soon that the re-held that it's even, you shouldn't finish the fast. It's better not to finish, you're allowed to if you want to, but it's better not to. It's better to be machmir on Shabbat than to be machmir on the fast. And so you should break the fast, despite the conclusion of the Gemara. Now this is bothering me for a while, where do they get this from? I mean, it sounds like mitanin mashlimin, the Ritva says, it doesn't sound in the Gemara like this. I saw Rav Avadia tries to bring one proof. He says, if you look earlier, the Gemara brought a proof. The question was a Tanit Yachid. Tanit Yachid, a person took upon themselves to fast. Should they finish the fast? And the proof, Rava brought a proof from the Halacha when Tisha B'Av falls on Erev Shabbat. So Rav Avadia says, but you could very easily have said that Tisha B'Av is Mochamur. That's why you have to finish. But the individual doesn't have to. So maybe that's what Tosfot was bothered by, that question. They were bothered that there's no proof from Tisha B'Av to an individual fast. So, but if you say that the question was not a question about Hilchot Ta'anit, it was a question about Hilchot Shabbat, is it permissible? So so maybe then, if we see that by Tisha B'Av is permissible, so also by Ta'anit Yachid is also permissible to finish the fast. Maybe that was where Tosfot got it from. It's still a little bit of a mystery to me. Where they got this from, but a number of Rishonim take this approach, that the question was a question about Hilchot Shabbat. It was not a question about whether you're obligated or not obligated. But if you look in the little brackets here, Tosfot Shantz, right after Tosfot, Umori Amri Li B'Shem Harav Rabbeinu Yedidya, Da Filu Rabbi Yossi Lo Pasak Ela Diachol Ashlim, right? He only said Yochol Lashlim. Miu Gam Rabbi Yosef Modi I Eino Rote Lashlim Har Should Be Ado. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Asur Lashlim. Now he says Ve'en Nirali. He doesn't like this idea. Tosfot Shantz, Shimon Mishantz, presumably Shimon Mishantz. Midikam Rabbi Yosef Iyata Modeli B'Tisha Ba'av Shechaliyot Be'Echad B'Shabbat Shu Matchil Mibod Yom. So that's another proof that Gemara brought. Rabbi Yosef brought a proof from the halacha when Tisha Ba'av falls on Matzei Shabbat. So Tisha B'Av falls Matzei Shabbat. We know the halacha is that you stop before sunset. You don't eat after sunset. That was Rabbi Yosef's proof. He says, you see that fasting on Shabbat is allowed for a brief period or because of a fast day. So that's obviously an obligation. Nobody says you may eat after Shkia when Tisha B'Av falls in Matzei Shabbat. You must stop eating before the Shkia. So if that's the case, you must. So maybe this case also you must. Hatam al korcha dechayav kamar. Dumya dehachi yerv Shabbat dechayav lashlim kamar. So he's not convinced. He thinks to bring a proof that it is a chiyuv from the comparison to the Tisha B'Av that fell on Motzei Shabbat. So here we have a machloket. One she'ela, is it obligatory to finish the fast or only optional to finish the fast? Just to see a little bit more. Okay, so that's... and we see the Hagot Maimoniot on page 21. Also goes the Rav Yan, the Rokeach held like the Tosfot Shantz. It's obligatory to finish the fast. Obligatory to finish the fast. Okay. Let's see now the we'll see the Rosh. So the Rosh says, on page 22, the Rosh says, he quotes the Gemara, Mitanin Mashlimin, and then the third line, he says, Pirush im yirtze, im yirtze. He holds like the Tosfot that it's only optional. Page 22. The lo chashiv kemitane b'shabbat. The chevan sheyachol lashlim. Now, pay very close attention. Given that you may complete the fast, im yirtze, if you feel like it, if you want to, v'hu kibel alav tanit stam. Now, we're talking about tanit yachid. Tanit yachid, he was mekabel to do a tanit stam, without saying, oh, I will stop before Shabbat. V'chol ha-tanit, she'lo shaka alav chama'enu tanit, and tanit really means until sunset, tzete kochavim, well, let's see, right? Tzarech litanot at tzete kochavim, so the Rosh understands that means you have to go till tzete kochavim. Im lo shepirash b'shat kabbalah tanit ad she'yashlim tefilato im atzibur. So he says, tanit yachid, he's mekabel to do a tanit, he has to go all the way to tzete kochavim. Now, yes, that seems to be a contradiction in terms. He just said, you may go, and now he's saying you must go. So what's going on here? So again, read it carefully. He said, because you may go, kevin jachol ashlim im yirtze, and you made a kabbalat tanit yachid without preconditions, which means you made a kabbalah to go until tzete kochavim, you must fulfill your kabbalah. Right? Because you may do so, there's no isur, and you were mekabel to do so, you must do so. Right? So now ask yourself, so in which case is it optional? Which case is optional?
Tisha B'Av.
So, exactly, a Tanit Tzibur. Tanit Tzibur is optional. Exactly, like Asara B'Tevet. That is optional. So it's funny, because we used to think Tanit Tzibur is more chamur than Tanit Yachid. But, and maybe it is. But here, it depends on the person's Kabbalah. In other words, Tanit Yachid also is optional. But if you made a Kabbalah to finish, you have to finish. Because you have to take that option. Yeah.
Is the default Kabbalah until Tzet Kochavim?
Yeah, that's what he says. Kabbalah Islam default is till Tzet Kochavim. Okay. Right?
Tanit Yachid.
Now Tanit Tzibur, so paradoxically, because Tanit Tzibur, even though it maybe is more chamur, but paradoxically, because it doesn't depend on your Kabbalah, you retain the option of stopping early. Right? Because you didn't make a Kabbalah to go to Tzet Kochavim. Right? Tanit Tzibur is just, it's a Tanit.
Everybody else is going to be fasting until Tzet Kochavim. So
maybe they will, maybe they won't. It'll be up to them also. In other words, Chazal made a gzera, you must have a Tanit. But you didn't make a Kabbalah, what time I'm going to finish the Tanit.
Chazal weren't metaken.
No, that's what he's saying. They weren't metaken to go to Tzet Kochavim specifically. They were metaken a Tanit. What happens when a Tanit conflicts with Shabbat? It's optional, right? The only time you must fast is if your Kabbalah is specifically, as it were, specifically to finish. And a Kabbalah stam means to finish, right? Whereas if there's no Kabbalah, then we go back to the default. Again, not the default Kabbalah. A default Kabbalah means a Kabbalah to finish. Right, to Tzet Kochavim. But a default fast means optional when it's Erev Shabbat.
In the middle of the week, it wouldn't be.
No, it's not optional. It goes to Tzet Kochavim, right? But because Erev Shabbat, the default is that when the fast conflicts with Shabbat, you have the option, right?
Yeah.
But when you're Mekabel, so it's as if you specified that you're going to go to Tzet Kochavim and you must finish. This is the Shita of the Rosh. Dig in, just, and keep that clearly in mind, because it's going to become very, very relevant. Okay. Okay. So this is one question. Do you have to finish? You don't have to finish. So we saw now, basically like three Shitot almost. We saw the Tosfot and we saw the Tosfot that you do not have to finish, right? We saw the Rash Mishant and the Ravya. We didn't see, but we heard the Ravya. You must finish, and now the Rosh is saying, a Tanit Yachid you must finish, but Tanit Tzibur you don't have to finish. Not Mukhrach that others would disagree with that, but okay. Now let's see the Mordechai, page 23. The Mordechai says, Katav Rabbeinu Meir, Dashlamat Tanit Berev Shabbat. Now this is already key. Katav Rabbeinu Meir, who's the Rabbeinu Meir? The Maharam Mirotenberg, right? The Hashlamat Tanit Berev Shabbat Sagi Ad L'Achar Tfilat Arvit. Woo, Chidush. What does it mean? What does it mean? Mashlim, until after you come back from home from Tfilat Arvit. In other words, they're making early Shabbat. We know the minhag of the Rishonim was to make early Shabbat all year round. This was Minhag in Teman also. They made early Shabbat all year round. We'll see soon that's Mifrash in a few sources. But so even though it's in the middle of the winter, right, and the Maramodenberg lived in Germany, it's pretty far north, they made early Shabbat even in the winter. There's a Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein where he talks about whether people are making Tarti de Satri, where they're praying both Mincha and Arvit after Plag Mincha, but before Shkia. So the halacha usually is that whenever the tzibur prays Arvit of Shabbat, everyone has to accept Shabbat in the town. If there's one shul, everyone has to accept Shabbat. So Moshe Feinstein says, but if they're doing this contradictory thing, then they're not following the halacha properly. Maybe we'll talk about that later for the minhag of Temanim. Therefore, you don't have to follow them. And he says, I also hold, he says, that this whole halacha that you have to follow the tzibur is only when they're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah of Kabbalat Shabbat early, of Tosefet Shabbat. But he says, these guys, they only do it in the summertime, not in the wintertime. They do it for their own convenience, right? So they can eat dinner at the hour that they choose. So they don't do it for the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. They do it for their convenience. That, he says, that you're not obligated to follow at all, even if they would be following the halacha, right? Whatever you're supposed to pray. But you're not obligated to follow because they're doing it for their convenience, not for the sake of the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. But, you know that in Teman, as in many other places, they did this all year round, even in the wintertime. Shabbat starts 4:30. Yeah, but in our Beit Kesed, we start 2 o'clock. We start 2:30, right? You can imagine such a thing nowadays. People would riot in the streets. That was the minhag in Teman. They were makbid to start Shabbat early all year round. And in Europe also. So even in the middle of the winter, they started Shabbat early. And Maram says that where mashlim means until after your mekabel Shabbat, until after Arvit. Shimi plagim in chaveilach. V'hainu de'amrina be'kromar v'mitaninu mashlim v'shalom ha'anim me'ir. So this is actually a tshuva from the Maram Mortenberg that says, and again, it sounds like from Maram Mortenberg, and we have this not place that the Maram held, you must finish, you must mashlim. He held like the Ravya, you must finish, but what does the finish mean? It means till after Arvit. And it makes sense. Now again, we have the sense of why does that make sense? Because now it's Shabbat. Before it, we're talking about a case of early Shabbat. Once Shabbat begins, then obviously you can't fast. In other words, the whole discussion of the Gemara is not that you could fast on Shabbat. The discussion is, can you come into Shabbat fasting? But once Shabbat has begun, then of course you can't fast. It began in this case by Kabbalat Shabbat. Yeah. Okay. Now,
so if you were to be Mekabel Shabbos before davening Maariv, like you daven Mincha and then you were Mekabel Shabbos, then your fast would be over at that point? That would be considered Mashlim?
That's a great question. There's discussions in Poskim that an individual Kabbalat Shabbat is not as powerful as the communal Kabbalat Shabbat. Right? For instance, individual Kabbalat Shabbat, you could do Hatarat Nedarim to undo it, perhaps. Individual, right? I'm not sure. That's a great question.
What about the Tefillah?
Right. Well,
Tefillah for Kiddush.
Well, it's
not formal, really, Kabbalat Shabbos.
Right. Meaning, right. Some Rishonim hold that Kabbalat Shabbat requires Dafka Kiddush or Tefillah,
right,
and not saying Hareini Mekabel Shabbat. That's true. That would be another safek to throw in there.
Tefillah, that would definitely count.
Right. So that's an interesting question. You make Kiddush, now you make Kiddush.
Yeah.
Now you can drink
then
wine.
Then you can drink immediately, right.
So that's an interesting question. Very, very good question. And again, just here you have this Maaseh of the Ri that we saw before, that he ate before the Bet Knesset, Kshivatza Ri, he ate, and he says, and the Mordechai said, Tema, Kamar Itani Mashlim. He says, I don't understand. The Gemara says, Mitaneo Mashlim. How did he eat before going to Bet Knesset? Right? And he says, Yeshlamar Di Baye Lahu Mahu Lashlim, Masik Di Mitaneo Mashlim. Kamar Yacholu Lashlim, Mim Yirtzeh, Mim Yutov Shalo Lashlim. Here we see it. The Ri held it better not to be Mashlim, because again, he held like Tosfot. He wrote the Tosfot, right? He was the Baal Tosfot, he's called. He held it's only optional, and once it's optional, it's better to eat before, right? This is you can parallel the famous Machlok Rishonim whether you're supposed to have the Sefer Torah open or closed when you make the bracha before you're getting your aliyah. You get an aliyah, you make the bracha on the Torah. So the Gemara says that you have the Sefer Torah open. And you don't have to worry that people will say that the brachot are written in the Sefer Torah. So the Tosfot say that it doesn't mean you have to have the Sefer Torah open. It means you may have the Sefer Torah open, but it's better to have it closed. Right? So every once in a while, Tosfot will do this. is they said that the only question about was, is it allowed? And it is allowed, but it's better not to do it, right? So here you have a similar thing. Tov shelo lahashlim, and therefore the Ri actually did maaser rav. He actually ate before going to Bet Keset. This is parenthetically the Big Day Yesha, the Shla, as a commentary on the Mordechai, he asked at the bottom, he says, wait a second, what about Anenu? He's not going to say Anenu in Mincha because he already ate. So he says, maybe he prayed Mincha early. He prayed Mincha early, and he said Anenu then, even though he knew he was going to eat later, right? And that way he wasn't Mevatel Anenu. Interesting side question.
Right, because it's a very achronish. It's a very achronish.
I mean, they used to
because you daven mincha with the shul late, and then you daven nara.
So you're saying maybe who says the Ri had a special early minyan for mincha that day? Good question. Okay.
Also doesn't say how early.
No.
Are they going to get? I mean, maybe we'll get to that.
Okay, but now from
Plag mincha, how early?
Mincha
is right before like Shabbos.
Right, like Rabbi Akiva, right before you go to Bet Knesset.
How much is right before? I mean, it's
okay. Yes, yes, lachor. We have to. Yeah, that's a good
right
question.
Right before half an hour, then it comes up with the what is it? With our pesach samuch lemincha, half an hour. So it's half an hour before.
Good question, also very good question. Okay, and now the final shita in the Rishonim, and then we'll be able to see halacha. The Ra'avad on page 24, quoted in the Magid Mishnah and many other Rishonim. Although we don't have it in the original because we don't have much of the Ra'avad's writings. We don't have in the original, but here it's quoted in the Magid Mishnah. Shelo katav ravad zal shelo amru la shlim mashlim ela shen ochel kodem shkiat chama aval vada mish nishka chama mitosevet shabatu v'chol kadash hayom im matza lechol ochel shekevin shenichnas letchum shabat shuv eno rashai litanot ad kan devarav. So again, the Radvaz, you also have this contradiction about rashai or chayav, but the Radvaz says once shkia arrives, Derek Moshe says he thinks this means when the sun disappears, not Rabbeinu Tam's later shkia. Once the sun sets, then you should eat. And he says, why that's like Tosefet Shabbat? We're not getting into Tosefet Shabbat. This is very similar to the Maram, once Shabbat begins, but it sounds like if he's talking about a case where you made early Shabbat, he would say you still have to wait until sunset, because then Shabbat really, really begins, not just your personal Kabbalah. Could be held that Tosefet Shabbat doesn't begin until around about Shkia, which seems to have been the perspective of some Rishonim who, based on Rabbeinu Tam, not a topic for now. So now, just again, so just to summarize, one question is, do you have to be Mashlim, or it's only optional, right? That was the one machloket we saw. Then, and the rush in the middle, with Tanit Yachid, the Kabbalah includes even, Tanit Yachid, you have to finish, but Tanit Tzibur, you don't have to finish. The other question is, how long do you have to go? So we saw the rush assumed until Tzeta Kochavim. We saw the Maharam said until after Aravit, and now we have this Ravad who says until Shkia. So putting those together, you could come up with, I guess, six different shitot if you put together all the permutations. What's the halacha? So this is where things get tricky. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Siv Dal, on page 25, Im kibel alav litanot be'erev Shabbat, tzarich litanot ad tzeta kochavim. So this is Tanit Yachid. You have to go until tzeta kochavim. And tzarich. So this is like, well, no, it's tzarich litanot ad tzeta kochavim.
Oh, Im lo sheperish.
Right? So you mean, like the Rush. Now, Tanit Yachid, you must finish. Or, alternative, like the Tosfot Chants. This could apply to every Tanit, not just our Tanit Yachid. We don't know yet. With regards to Tanit Yachid, he says you must finish and you must go till Tzeta Kochavim. So it's either like the Tosfot Chants or like the Rush. Im lo shepirish b'shat kabbalat Tanit ad sheyashlimu atzibur tfilatan. And unfortunately, that's all Rabbi Yosef Karo graces us with. He doesn't tell us explicitly the halacha of Tanit Tzibur. Right? Now the Rama, yesh omrim de lo yashlim, that's lo yashlim, el miyad shotzim b'vetekness yuchal. So this is the Maram. Yesh omrim like the Maram. Lachen betanit yachid lo yashlim. The tov lefresh ken b'shat kabbalah v'tanit tzibur yashlim v'achi nahug. So the Rama strikes the opposite compromise to the Rosh. He says, given that we have a machloket, right, between the Maharam and the Rosh, we have to go to tzitik kochavim or not to tzitik kochavim, or to right after kabbalat Shabbat. So he says, by tanit yachid we should be mekel. Right? And ideally even spell it out in your Kabbalah, because Tanit Yachid is more kal. But Tanit Tzibur, you should finish like the Tosfot Shantz, right? Like the Tosfot Shantz, the Karmaz of the Ma'aril. So the Ramah paskens that you must finish in a Tanit Zibur. So this is the Psak Mefresh we have from the Ramah, that this year Asar Tebet falls on Erev Shabbat, the Minyag of Ashkenazim is they will finish the fast until Tzetek Kochavim. Until Tzetek Kochavim. Even if they make early Shabbat, they must finish the fast until Tzetek Kochavim. What about for us? So it's not so clear what the Shulchan Aruch holds. Our first guide, of course, could be the Shtilei Zeitim. And we'll see if he helps us here on page 27. So he quotes the Ramah, except he leaves out two words. V'hachi nahug. So now, this is one of these, like, again, without taking away from this, it's not very helpful to us, because he's basically saying there's all these different opinions, and he's not telling us what the minhag is, right? It sounds a little bit like he thinks the Ramah is acceptable. It's acceptable, but he's not being machriya for us what the halacha is. So we're back to, so it kind of brings us back to square one, and the Talmidei Poskim don't give us any help. Rav Tzavi doesn't have any better pshat. What's just tell you? He took at hachi nahug. Like, maybe because different places had different minhagim. I don't know. Could be anything, right? What should we conclude? What should we conclude? So I'm seeing already we're low on time, but let's take a look at the Biur Halacha on page 25. On page 25, the Biur Halacha Mishnah Berurah says, "Da afilu l'dat ha-machaber lo yitik bifnim dat ha-maram afilu le'shomrim." Mashma de svir le de ze lo mikri ashlama klal, mash gibel shabbat filato. Hayan davka be mish kibel al atzmo tanit. Um istam ayta kavanto de stam tanit, did you know who at the gorim? Um mele mukhrach ul ashlama, aber de tanit zibur, kana sabet tevet shechal be shabbat, mashma be bet yosef de mitzaded lo rot ka poskim de svir lo de hay mit aninu. Um mashlimin, ta kemar gmar hayno im yir tzel ashlim rashai. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks that the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Rush. He thinks the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Rush, that Tanit Tzibur is only Rashai. Im yirtzeh lashlim Rashai, but you may eat before going to Beit Knesset, according to the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Mishnah Berurah's interpretation. And it makes sense because he explained that it's because of the Impiresh Mishat Kabbalah, which is the Lashon of the Rush. Right? It's not Mefurash, but it's the Lashon of the Rush. Sounds like he's quoting the Rush. He just didn't finish explaining. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's conclusion.
Is that how we have Svardim and?
So we'll see in a second. We have literally only a few minutes to finish, but we didn't start at 9:30. So in the last few minutes that we have, let's see what we'll see. Maybe we'll finish next week, but let's see if we have Achra from the Maharitz. Let's see if we have a chara from the Maritz on page 28, the Etz Chaim. So there's an interesting halacha here in the Maritz, or practice. It says, Lo yacher milomar kiddush ala kos lefi shemazel tzedek meshamesh b'shar rishona shel or Shabbat. So the Maritz is a fan of the Kabbalistic practice of making kiddush in the first hour of Shabbat. You should make kiddush in the first hour of Shabbat. Why? Because the mazal of tzedek is running the world, or is applicable at that time. Not running the world, but its influence is felt at that time, right?
So if you accept the early Shabbos,
so that's also fine, right? But what you shouldn't do, right? You shouldn't. V'nachon liyod mekadesh kodim alayla before tzedek kochavim kol ma'adi afshar lebilti or as early as the bilti yikenes begvul mazal ma'adim, because the second hour of Shabbat is under ma'adim, and that's a bad mazal. So this mini kubbalim, in fact, I think Lubavitchers are very strict about this, not to make kiddush after the first hour of Shabbat. I think then they'll wait till the third hour or something like that. But they make kiddush, very hurry to make kiddush, so as not to be making kiddush in the mazal of ma'adim. The siman tzedek tzedek tirdof, you should run to make it in time tzedek. Now, what's relevant to us? Af imu betanit, you can make kiddush before tzedek kochavim. En kpeda. שאף שמרו הלכה ומתענה ומשלים, היינו לומר שיתענה עד שקיעת החמה. אבל כל שנכנס לתחום שבת, שוב אינו רשאי לתענות. Right? And this is from the Chemdat Yamim. It's a quotation from Chemdat Yamim, it's a Kabbalistic sefer. So he's saying, we should hold like the Ra'avad. We should hold like the Ravad. And it sounds like you're obligated to, but you could, after Shkia, which is not, that opinion was not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. However, even though it sounds like he's holding like the Ravad, if you look on 29, he throws this back into confusion again when he talks in the Halachot of Asar B'Tevet. That was in Hilchot Kiddush. He says, "Keshechal Asar B'Tevet, nafal machloket ben aposkim, tzerech lashlim." He quotes all the Shitot, quotes the Maharil. Next page. And he quotes from the Knesset Gedolah, the second line, La'olam, ani omer, the Avid Kamar Avad. That's pick whichever you want. That's, you have what to rely on no matter what you do. Hakol Hashem Shamayim. Right? And he says, Ayin Magid Mish Pasak Ravad. And he makes an interesting point. He says, Mashma Midvarav, in the middle, in page 30, Mashma Midvarav, de lo pligal data Rambam. Magid Mishnah quoted the Ravad on the Rambam. He doesn't think the Rambam is some way explicit. Rambam just said Mitaneu Mashlim. He didn't explain how long you go. And then he quotes Tefillat Shabbat Miplag Min Chalom Ala, right? Zuti Mitanit Chalom. And then he says, go look what I wrote in Kiddush. So it sounds like he wants to say like the Ravad. Okay,
what did the Ravid say again?
The Ravid said you have to go till Shkia.
You have to go till Shkia.
And it's clear in the Maritz that he's interpreting that to mean even if you were Mekabel Shabbat earlier, you must still go until Shkia. We're out of time. We have a few more minutes if people want to go now, or we can try to finish in the next few minutes.
To finish the topic? So you know, we can't stay away from home. We haven't prepared for Shabbos.
So, should we finish? Take a few more minutes, or
I'm going to stay.
Okay, so let's see if we can finish the topic. We'll start a new topic next week that way. So, okay. So, what are we to make of all of this? So, again, is there a clear consensus? Look at Rav Tzabi. Look what he does. Page 31. Im chalut taniyot el b'Shabbat dochin tan lachar Shabbat kshechal shivut ved erev Shabbat mitanin az nafal machloket ben aposkim im tzarech lashim etzet kochvim o shein tzarech yesh noagim kedei arishana. Some finish. And he says some even make kiddush even before shkia, right, when they come out of the Beit Knesset. So he quotes two minagim from Teman. In the footnote, he quotes a tshuva from Chaim Korach, who basically says, if you take a look in the bold, in the Yud Bet, Uve'ir Sana, Yesh Noagin Lamtina Tzitik Ochim Kedei Arishona. יש נוהגים לקדש לאכול מיד אחת צאת מביציאה מבית הכנסת. מנהג זה כדעת הגות מאמיניות, right? והרעבד. Why is he saying this מנהג is according to the רעבד? We just said that they make kiddush after they come out of בית כנסת. Why is it according to the רעבד? The answer is, it's because in Teman, they didn't make early Shabbat, early. They made what's called nowadays Tarit HaSatrei. They prayed both Mincha and Arvit, between Plag and Arvit, and they used to finish close to sunset, and they used to get home and have kiddush during Ben Hashmashot. That was probably the minhag in the time of the Gemara also, because the Gemara talks about Kiddusha de Bei Shimshi. Friday night Kiddusha is Kiddusha de Bei Shimshi, Kiddusha el Ben Hashmashot. Right? And the Maritz even says, we'll get to it later, that it's a proper minhag to make Kiddush during Ben Hashmashot. So you can say, it says, Yom HaShishi, Vayichul HaShemayim Va'aretz, that you make Kiddush at that time, that Friday is turning into Shabbat. And so this is why the Rav Chaim Korach assumes that when they make kiddush, they don't follow only the Maram, they also have the Ravad, because they get home and they make kiddush right after Shkia, and that is the time they make it, and that's also what we refer to, the Mazal Tzedek, is from Shkia and on.
Starting a Suda before Krishma?
That's a good question, but they read Kriyat Shema in Beit Knesset.
But they hold the Vada that you're not yet to then.
They did read with the Brachot, so maybe they relied on Rashi, Mishnah Berurah is also...
But they don't hold like Rashi. That should work fully fresh.
We'll see. I guess we'll see. We'll see. We'll see when we get there. But that was the minhag. Right. We'll have to see what the justification for it is. So he says, "Al kol panim." So Rav Tzabi concludes. However, he says, "Al kol panim kodim shkiat chama en la'akel," according to the Maritz. And he says, "You see that there were some people who were noheg even to go to tzedek ochavim." And look at the last line: "Al ken yirali niyudeti sheesh lorot la'achmira tzedek ochavim." Right? And why does he say this? I'm sorry. Skip up, back to the Tshuva of Rav Chaim Korach, and you'll see something very interesting. In the third line, back in 32, page 32 again, just in the third line from the top bracket, He says, "Svarat Rosh, the Tzarich Lashlim at Tzidik Ochlim, Kmo Shekadav Shama Bashulchan Aruch." So he says the Shulchan Aruch holds that you have to go until Tzitzit Kochavim when Aser HaBetavet falls in Erev Shabbat. It's not like the Biur Halacha. Not like the Biur Halacha.
Until,
no, not like the Marit. But it's not like the Biur Halacha. The Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Rosh. That it's optional. It's optional to be Meshlim. He's assuming Shulchan Aruch because he said Shulchan Aruch by Tanit Yachid. So he's assuming also.
Unless Ratzavi, he means Ramah by Shulchan Aruch.
No. He means the Shulchan Aruch. The Temanim don't confuse the Shulchan Aruch with the Ramah.
Isn't that what he's? I thought that's what he's saying here also. Harishnai Svaras Harash Zal Shetar Tlashlem Atzei Tekochavim Mekmon Shekad Hashem.
Yeah, by Shulchan, but he's referring to Asar B'Tevet, not Tanit Yachid. He's talking about Asar B'Tevet. And look, Rav Tzav makes the same assumption. Yesh Lachmir Atzei Tekochavim Luchol Apachot. And then he said he did it, but two lines earlier than that. V'chol shekin l'dad maran sham shafil tan yachid zarech lashlim at tzidukum afilu betanit yachid and kol shekin betanit tzibur. Kol shekin betanit tzibur, you have to go till tzedek kochavim. And therefore, every time he says you have to be machmir, there's different minagim. We said last week there's different minagim, so go with the shulchan aruch, go till tzedek kochavim. And then he says, I did find that there were places that had the minhag to eat a little bit before they went to bet knesset. So this bothered me tremendously that they assumed that the Shulchan Aruch holds. I thought the Biur Halacha was right. I thought he was right that he says like the Rosh, that's why he focuses on the Tanit Yachid, the Kabbalah, right? And I was bothered also. I looked in the Abiya Omer on page 34. He was asked the same question. What should we do? Rav Avadya says, Marana Bet Yosef v'Divrei Tosfot v'Rosh v'Mordechai v'Agot me'Aminut Shipirshu Dainu Imrotz Lashlim Tanit Rashai u'b'Kol Zot Pasak B'Shulchan Aruch, right? Im Kibel Av Litanot Be'Rav Shabbat etc. And they quote the Rama Ad Kan u'Muchach Desfir Leila Maran Litanu Mashlim Hainu Shechayav Lashlim Chayav Lashlim v'Kol Shegem Tanit Zibur. And he says, don't tell me, don't tell me Milta BeKabbalato. Don't tell me it depends on his acceptance of the fast. Sharei afilu Ramah sheyekel betanit yachid v'nigud ledad maran modeh betanit tzibur tzarech lashlim u'mikol mikol dad maran tzarech lachmir betanit tzibur atzidik kochavim u'chodat haposkim anal. So we know the Ramah has it the other way. The Ramah is the opposite of the Rosh. The Maril said tanit yachid is more kal, tanit tzibur you have to go to tzidik kochavim. But why is Rav Avadya assuming that the Shulchan Aruch holds this has the same kal v'chomer? Right? After all, we said in the Rosh, you don't have such a Kal V'Chomer. In the Rosh, the Kal V'Chomer is the opposite. Tanit Tzibur is more Kal, because it's not Talui on your Kabbalah. And therefore, it's only a Reshut. But this is Rav Avadya's Psak. He says, you must finish till Tzedek Kochavim V'Sfaradim. And so this very bothers me. Rav Tzabi, Chaim Korach, Rav Avadya, all making this assumption that the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Rav Yah, like the Tosfot Chants, that you have to go to Tzedek Kochavim. So Samachti Kimotze Shalal Rav at 1:30 yesterday morning, I found the Halacha Bura, 1 o'clock yesterday morning, I found the Halacha Bura of David Yosef. You know, they say he's not afraid to argue on his father. David Yosef, he says again his Psak Halacha page 36 is Im Chal Yom Tanit Tzibur Be'er Shabbat Ben Tzaseh B'Tevet Ben Yimaitaz Tanit Shegazur Mechmat Tzav Gzera Chayavim Lachlim Atinu Tzad Kochavim. So his Psak Halacha is the same as his father. It's the same as his father. But if you look in the notes, you have to read the whole thing. He says, Hinemaran Shulchan Aruch Kan Lo Katav Ela Din Tanit Yachid Be'er Shabbat. Don't tell me what Rav Avadya said, right? He doesn't point out that he's arguing on his father. He says, he explains that what we said. Skip down. Right? Now look in the brackets. But he says no. The Biur Halacha could be right. Could be that it's like the Rosh. V'adayin yesh makom lomar de tanit tzibur kila l'inyan zemi tanit yachid. He says mikum makom nirash avli dira Biur Halacha en hechreach barur lefresh b'dira Bet Yosef l'sfer le'ledina la'kev tanit tzibur le'chol kodin tzedek kochavim. So he's intellectually honest. He said, you know what? This is my father might be wrong. The Biur Halacha might be right. But he says, you know what? It's not Mefurash and Shulchan Aruch. It's not Mefurash. It could be that he doesn't hold like it. It could be hold like the Rav Yah, like the Tosfot Chants. Again, my instinct is he holds like the Rosh. He didn't quote in the Bet Yosef. If you look there, he doesn't really quote the other Shita. doesn't really quote the other Shita, and he quotes the Lashon of the Rosh. Sounds like the Rosh, it's only a Rishut. It's not Mifurash, he's right about that. And on page 38, how does he come to his psak? He says, Niresh Avner Minagas Faradim, Yesh Lach Mir Bezer Linyan Tan Tzibur, Avav Mishal Nondit Barad Dvar Behedya Bedivere Man Shulchan Aruch, Avdra Bet Yosef Enechre Barur Kanal, Mikom Akom Yesh Linkod Bezer Karama Lach Mir. Omnam Archonim Nechlek Kuali Vedam Minagas Faradim Mekom Shem Man Shulchan Aruch Lo Negila Dato Varama Gila Dato Inaktin Bezer Karama. He says, if the Mechaber doesn't say clearly, maybe we should follow the Rama. That's not so clear. Different poskim hold that, you know, we shouldn't follow the Rama. Why should we follow the Rama? You know, but some say, no, if the Shulchan doesn't say, you should follow the Rama. And he throws in the fact that the famous Abu Draham, who says, even if Asar B'David would fall on Shabbat, you'd have to fast on Shabbat. Which never happens, of course, and the Beit Yosef rejects that Abu Draham. But you can throw it in here. It says that you could even fast on Shabbat itself, so for sure you could finish the fast, or you should finish the fast also. So where do we come out with all this? So my contribution, I think, to the sugya is that once you have Rav David Yosef's point, and you're modeh that it's not Mefurash on Shulchan Aruch, unlike Rav Tzabi, and unlike Rav Chaim Korach, and unlike Rav Avadia, if it's not Mefurash, we understand why in Teman there was a possibility of different minhagim, right? We understand why the Maritz was able to say we should hold like the Ra'avad, that you should eat after Shkia, right? We understand why in Sana'a some did like this and some did like that. And some ate before they went to Beit Knesset, some ate after they came back from Beit Knesset, some ate would go until Tzedek Kohanim, because it's not Mefurash Shulchan Aruch, unlike what Rav Tzabi is suggesting. So if that's the case, do I have any halacha l'maaseh conclusion from all of this? So, you know, the Maritz did say, David Kamar Avid. You know, it's hard to say someone would be wrong if L'Shem Shamayim, he would eat something before going to Beit Knesset. However, the bottom line is that even if we assume that Shulchan Aruch holds like the Rosh, he certainly doesn't hold like the Maram. He certainly doesn't hold like the Maram. Either holds it's a Rishut, or he holds that you have to go to Tzedek Kochavim. Right? Even if it's a Rishut, he didn't quote it's better. He didn't quote the Mordechai. It's better to eat before. So it's a Rishut. Okay, all the Rosh said is Im Yirtze. So, L'chora, there's nothing wrong in that case with being Machmir to go until Tzedek Kochavim and following the opinion of the Gdolei Poskim Yisrael, Poskim Manenu, who say that, you know, they assume Shulchan Aruch holds like that, or even we should hold like that, we should follow the Rama. The Shtilei Zetim, after all, didn't cut out the Rama. That means the Rama is an acceptable Shita, right? That you should go until Tzedek Kochavim. And even if you assume Shulchan holds like the Rosh, it's still a Rishut. So therefore, you may as well be Yotze all the opinions by going until Tzedek Kochavim, even for us, and that's also in accordance with the opinion of the poskim that we saw nowadays. All right, Chazak Baruch.